How's everyone doing this morning? I mentioned last week we've kind of collected a stack of stones here, a stack of bricks. We've been talking about forgiveness the last couple of weeks and in our time together in worship and also our time in our adult Bible classes as well, and I've been hearing a lot of good things from conversations that are happening in there. But one of the things that we are discussing is we have this challenge that God has given us by calling us to forgiveness, and that challenge is that we've been wronged, and we live in a world of wrongs. We've been wronged by people, and whether we may not mean to, but we've collected these wrongs, and they've just happened to us in life. Some of them are ones that we've done. And we start to carry them with us, and they become like this wall up here. They start to wall us in, and sometimes we can even come to church. And even though it's invisible, there's a wall of unforgiveness that has started to well up inside of us. And so we're working on this. We're working on taking this down piece by piece. I hope that it's a process that you're going through in your life. I shared a story last week about an encounter I had in a parking lot some years ago. A woman who almost tried to fight me, because my car door had brushed up against hers. But I have to share this story. Someone topped it. You know, sometimes I share a story, then later someone will come and top my story. I have to share this one. So Kyle McAllister. I could just stop right there, couldn't I? Kyle McAllister shares this story with me this past week. He said, "Nathan, I had a similar instance. I was in Houston on business. I was needing to get a part for my computer. I'd gone into the store. I came back out. They didn't have it. And the parking lot was just crammed. And he was in his car, and there was a car pulling out behind him, so he couldn't back up. And there was a car in front of him that was backing into him. And so he was stuck where he was. He couldn't move, and he was blaring on his horn, blaring, 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 trying to get this person who's foolishly about to hit him and is still coming at him. And so he's just ramming on his horn. The car hits him. He jumps out of the car. He's very upset, very volatile, and he's ready to let this person have it. How could they be, you know, so foolish? How could they not notice the car that was behind him? And here he was, stuck, nothing he could do, very frustrated, very angry, and then a nun stepped out of the car. Who else would that happen to? And his next response when he saw her was, "Are you okay?" Oh. You don't know who that other person could be, right? That's part of what we're learning. That's part of what we're learning as we march to forgiveness. We started this series by talking about how this is a part of God's identity. This is a part of His character. Forgiveness is. Whenever Moses encountered God on the mountain in Exodus 34, we have this holy moment that happens where God pronounces His name before Moses. And He tells Moses Himself, He defines Himself, who is God? And He shares with Moses that He is a compassionate God. He forgives sins to the thousand generations. He has this covenant, committed kind of love for all people. Last week we talked about how practicing forgiveness is a new way of being human, and we hadn't really seen it before until we saw it in Jesus and how He revealed the ability to take what sometimes we may feel as justified anger or righteous indignation when someone has done something wrong. It has sinned. It's happened, and we feel the need to correct it, and sometimes we use stones to try to do that, and Jesus disarmed those in John chapter 8. You remember that story. It's a new way of being human. It's a new way of seeing other people. It's a new way to treat other people. Forgiveness is. Today we're talking about forgiveness as the mission of God. Not only is it a part of His character, not only is it the Jesus way of being human, but forgiveness is also God's mission in the world. I was thinking of the words as Justin was giving us the reflection this morning over the Lord's Supper. I was thinking about how when you have that gift of the meal that Jesus gives us, it is a new covenant in His blood for what? For the forgiveness of sins, isn't it? Jesus' mission in our world, God's mission in our world, we want to send the light of that mission of forgiveness all over the globe. But we know that this is a challenging thing, and today we're really looking at this from the standpoint of, is it the right mission? That's the question that we're asking. Is it the right mission? You know, we have this perplexing prophet named Jonah who prays two different prayers to God in that very short book. One, he prays thanking God for rescuing him from certain death because he had disobeyed God and he's cast into the sea. But God rescues him from death. He sends a big fish, and we have in Jonah chapter 2, Jonah prays this prayer to God, thanking God for his salvation and for his forgiveness. But then there's a second prayer in the book of Jonah. Do you remember this prayer in the book of Jonah? This is Jonah chapter 4. Notice this text here. This is after he's preached the sermon that God sent him to preach from the very beginning. Remember that Jonah was a runaway prophet, wasn't he? But after he does finally preach the sermon, he has the greatest response that any prophet ever has in the history of Israel. The entire nation of Nineveh repents. And God forgives them. He relents from sending the destruction that was promised because of their repentance. And this is Jonah's response to what God does. But to Jonah, this seemed very wrong. And he became angry and he prayed to the Lord, "Isn't this what I said, Lord, when I was still at home? This is what I tried to forestall by fleeing to Tarshish." Now notice what he says next, because he's going to repeat verbatim what God said about himself to Moses back on the mountain encounter in Exodus 34, 6 and 7. "I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity." And here's Jonah saying, "I don't like that. This feels wrong. Your forgiveness feels like a lack of justice. It was different when you forgave me, but when you forgave them, you've done something wrong, and it feels very wrong to me, and this is why I never wanted to be a part of this mission in the first place." He's a perplexing prophet, isn't he? He has the best response that anyone's ever had from a sermon, and he couldn't be more upset about it. And yet we see that Jonah's really not all that different than us. The same struggle is there. He points to something that we feel at times too. God, why? How is it that you can see people that way? God, how is it that you can be so gracious? God, how is it that your love can be so unconditional? How is it that your mission is that you long for all to receive forgiveness? I want to share with you a story that Jesus tells that I don't think there's a more beautiful story in all of the Bible. And I wonder how many people have been led to faith in Jesus Christ because of the story. We commonly know it as the parable of the prodigal son. And I'm going to ask, I need some help here. I'm going to ask my two sons to come up here at this time to help me tell this story. Now, before you start wondering which one's the bad kid, I want to explain some things here. Very honestly, number one, they represent us. And this story that Jesus tells is actually about two sons who both run away from the Father. One does it outwardly, one does it inside. So the story is powerful because it has this reflexive nature on two different ends. I'm going to use them to help me. Micah's older, so I'm using him as the older son. And Caleb is younger. There was a man who had two sons. And one day, the younger son came to his father and said, "Father, give me my share of the estate." And so the father divided his property between them. Not long after this, the younger son gathered together all that he had and set off for a distant country. And there he squandered all of his wealth with wild living. And when he had spent everything that he had, he began to be in need because there was a severe famine that had come across the entire country. So he decided to hire himself out to one of the citizens of that country. And he sent him to the fields to feed the pigs. And he longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating. But no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And yet here I am starving to death. So I will set out and go to my father and say, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.'" So he got up and went to his father. While he was still a long way off, the father saw him. And he was filled with compassion. So he ran to his son, and he threw his arms around him, and he kissed him. The son said, "Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father called his servants and said, "Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate, for this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And so they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. And so he called one of the servants to ask what was going on. "Your brother has come," he said, "and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound." But the older brother was angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, saying, "Look, all these years I've been slaving for you, and I've never disobeyed you. And yet you've never even given me a young goat so that I could celebrate with my friends. And yet when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him?" "My son," the father said, "you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." Come here, boys. Would you all bow with me? Let's have a prayer together. God, I thank you for my sons, my daughter, my wife, my family. God, I thank you for these families that are here, the sons and daughters that are gathered here today. God, family is hard. We all have stories of challenges, Lord. We all have stories of runaways, maybe not outwardly, Father, but all of us inwardly struggle. God, would you help us to be a family like you, a family of forgiveness? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, boys. I don't know how many times you've heard that story. It convicts me every time I hear it. It's powerful, it's poetic, it's beautiful. We're all drawn into it because it's real. Even though it's a story, even though it's a parable, it's real because when we hear it, we find ourselves in the story, don't we? Maybe you've experienced what the younger son went through. Maybe you've gone through those times in your life where you did not like the father's house and you felt the need to get out. You felt the need to go out and experience the world. In ministry, I found many different prodigal sons and daughters. In ministry, I've found many parents who've been longing and waiting for their children to come home. And when it happens, it's so wonderful and so exciting. But I've also walked alongside the many who are still waiting. And it's so hard. It's hard to be like the father in the story who still loves and blesses his son, even though his son basically wishes him that he was dead when he asks for his estate. It's hard not to let resentment fill in your heart whenever someone walks out on you and treats you so disrespectfully. But the thing that's so amazing about this story is it really is a family story, isn't it? And the dynamics that are there are so real and so raw, because it's not just about a father and a son, it's about a father who has two sons. And so even whenever there's celebration over the son who does come home, and praise God, what a celebration it is, the father still has to deal with a son who never left, but whose heart had distanced itself for a long time. And he no longer saw his father as a dad or as a father, but as a boss. And he did not like the way the boss managed his household. And so when the celebration was going on, and when the rejoicing was happening, and when the son, the brother had come back, he couldn't stand to the thought of going inside. The older brother sounds so like so many of us, doesn't it? God, why would you do that? Could this really be justice? Could this really be the gospel story? Could this really be the message of what Jesus is about? And we're not the first ones to feel that, because that's the very reason why Jesus tells this story, isn't it? You have some who are onlookers there at the very beginning of chapter 15, and they don't like the kind of people that Jesus is leading to faith. And they don't like the kind of people that He's having fellowship with. These aren't the kind of people that we want saved. Because there are a lot of reprobates and runaways and sinners. They don't feel like God's people. Until we hear Jesus break down the story of who God really is. You see, both sons really didn't know the Father in that story. They didn't really see Him for who He was. You see, the Father loved unconditionally, didn't He? And that's hard to understand. That's even harder to receive. It's hard to go home when you've been gone. It's hard to be able to approach your father because you're worried, how is he going to, is he going to like me? Does he even want me to be there? I won't even go there as a son. Maybe he'll just let me be a servant outside. Never realizing that that's not the kind of father that he is. He didn't need a speech. He just wanted to see his son come home. That's what he wanted. Same thing with the older brother. The older brother didn't realize. You have that beautiful poetic speech that comes from the father there at the end where he has to tell him, son, you're missing. You don't understand. My son, you're my son. And you're always with me. And you're a part of me. Every single part, everything that I have is yours. Every part of it. You are beloved. You're my son. But if you can't let go of your resentment and anger and unforgiving heart, you'll miss the party. Until you can accept your brother, you won't be able to come inside and celebrate the joy of forgiveness and the joy of grace. I think this may be the most beautiful story that's ever been told, but it's the gospel, isn't it? That's what's so beautiful about it. Jesus does something so wonderful at the end. He doesn't actually end the story. It's a cliffhanger, isn't it? What's going to happen? Is the older son going to come inside? Is the reunion that we're all longing for going to take place? But you see, Jesus is very intentional in leaving the story unended because the way that the story is going to be finished and completed is by those who hear it. What will you do with it? How will your life complete it? It's very easy to let those wrongs that have been done to us stack up in our lives and to feel justified in collecting them and going, do you realize how I've been treated? Do you realize the things that have been done to me? Do you realize how hard I've worked? It's much harder to let go of those things and to come inside and accept the grace of God towards those we don't believe deserve it. The older brother actually has a harder journey home, doesn't he? Because he doesn't feel like he has a need to be saved. I was able to enjoy something amazing unexpectedly. Several years ago, I was at the airport and I was waiting to pick up a widow who was needing a ride back whenever she arrived. And so I'm sitting in the terminal watching people as they make their way in, and I'm looking for the one that I'm waiting for. And as I was sitting there, I saw a family come up. And I realized that what was about to happen was a really big deal. This was a soldier's family. And there's mom and dad. There's the young wife and newborn child. There's the daughter that's standing by, and she's holding the banner for their hero that they're waiting to have come home. And I'm a total stranger here, but I'm getting caught up, you know, in this emotionally as I watch it. And now I'm excited. Inside I'm going, yes, he's coming home. And then he walks through the doors. And the outpouring of celebration and love and rejoicing overflows. The little ones, it's daddy who's home. He comes in, he sees his wife and he kisses her. And here he is seeing his newborn child for the very first time. And here's the mother and father that are there, and they have their son back safe and sound. I can only imagine what they were feeling, because I was being moved where I was as I watched this. You see, the homecoming story is actually God's story, isn't it? The homecoming story is actually God's mission in the world, isn't it? God longs to forgive. God longs to receive. He wants every single person to know that they are a beloved child of the Father. And that's enough. That's enough. It's unconditional. It's real. It's completely of God, because we can find a love like this nowhere else. And Jesus hands it to us and says, and this is what I'm calling you to share. You see, we're not just prodigals that make our way home. We're not just older brothers who have to learn how to share forgiveness and acceptance, even to those who we do not deem worthy. We are children of God who are called to grow up and be like our Father and share the celebration of grace and forgiveness, to stop judging others, to stop harboring anger or hatred, and to move to a place of love, to move to that place where we're able to see the sons and daughters just as God sees them. With all their goodness and also all of their struggles, and yet beloved. This is who God is. And this is God's mission in our world. How is the story going to end for you? How's it going to end? I am sensitive to the fact that there are some who are dealing with very difficult things at home. Strained relationships. Difficult marriages. Difficult parenting life. And it's very easy to let those feelings of hurt become feelings of hate. But if you find your identity in knowing that you are the beloved of God, God is able to do a transforming work on your heart. Even the most hurt of hearts, even the most hardened of hearts, can be softened by this love and this grace, so that you can forgive even those that you never thought you could have forgiveness towards, because you found your identity at home in the Father. In the Father. I want to ask you to do an exercise for just a moment, and then we're going to offer an invitation. But I'd like for everyone to repeat after me. I am the beloved of God. Let's say that again. I am the beloved of God. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? You see, that's not an easy thing to receive. It's not easy to go inside, and it's not easy to come home. But when you do, a most wonderful thing happens in your life. A most wonderful transformation takes place. The wall of forgiveness starts to crumble so that it starts to overflow out of our hearts towards those around us. If you're not a Christian today, I want you to know that this is an impossible thing to do without Jesus. It's impossible to share this love that we're talking about. It's impossible to see people this way without Christ alive in your heart. It's impossible to have this attitude of forgiveness towards those who have hurt you or wronged you in any way, except that the Holy Spirit is alive in you, and it's a supernatural event that takes place. So if you're not a Christian, this isn't something that God is going to ask you to do, because you have to have Jesus Christ alive in you to make this step. And so we offer this invitation always, don't we, church? If you're not a Christian, we invite you to receive the forgiveness that God has for you. He loves you. He longs for you. You are beloved of God. He longs for you to come home to Him, to turn from your life of self, to come back from the far country that you've been to, and to return home to God. Receive His love. Receive His name. You can be born again today. Repent of your sins. Confess His name. Put Christ on in baptism. Let His Holy Spirit light up your life. But I think most of us in here are the other part of the story, aren't we? Maybe you're an older brother or older sister that's here today, and what you're needing is to hear the words of the Father this morning saying, you also were invited to come inside. Come inside and celebrate the joy of forgiveness and grace. Come inside and see the Father's love. See the Father for who He is. See Him for how He sees you. He loves you. He longs for you. You can come right now and experience that forgiveness in your life. Let's stand. Let's sing.